Hello, East Texas. This is Thomas Alford, Assistant Public Information Officer with the Northeast Texas Public Health District. And we'd like to welcome you to our first episode of Casting the Net, where we seek to dive deeper into the health topics across East Texas. Again, I am your Public Information Officer, Assistant Public Information Officer for Net Health. And with me today, I have my co-host, Terrence Ates, our Director of Community Wellness, and our head PIO, or Public Information Officer for Net Health. Say hello, Terrence.
Hello, hola, ¿cómo está?
Yeah, so
how's it going?
So today is our first episode. This is actually, is this your first podcast to be on, Terrence?
First,
yeah, it's a first for me as well. So we are the public information officers for Net Health. And again, we just welcome you to the show and ready to dive deep. So what is your role at Net Health?
I work as the director of our community wellness department. We have 8 different departments here at Net Health. It's interchangeable. Sometimes we'll say Net Health. Sometimes we'll say our full company name, Northeast Texas Public Health District, for the city of Tyler and for Smith County. So if you live here in Smith County, you can say we're the health department. If you're outside of Smith County, we're Net Health. We do provide services. Some of our departments provide services in multiple counties across East Texas, which is one of the reasons why our company name is the Northeast Texas Public Health District, because we do public health programs and services all over Northeast Texas.
Yeah, and I think it's good for our listeners to know that public health can be structured differently from, you know, region to region. And this is just the way that the public health department is structured here in Tyler. It wasn't always that way.
Then just a quick geography lesson update. When we say Northeast Texas, we're referring to the state health department's definition, geographically, their definition of East Texas, which is a 35-county area. So if you draw a line of Jasper, Newton, Livingston, Woodville, Trinity, those cities in East Texas, and then every place all the way north. So Houston isn't considered Northeast Texas. Mm-hmm. Huntsville isn't considered Northeast Texas, but everything above Huntsville, I guess you can say, divide and line.
Where they say life behind the pine curtain.
Behind the pine curtain.
That's it.
Where everybody has allergies.
That's right. I've been very fortunate. I don't have to take Claritin or anything like that.
And then everything east of Dallas, Buffalo, Waco, if you draw a line there, everything east of that is what is considered East Texas, according to the state health department.
Yeah.
So whenever we say Northeast Texas, or if we say East Texas, we're referring to Northeast Texas.
Yeah.
Because what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
But all that's to say, we spread our public health services as wide as we can, because there are some counties or some cities in East Texas that don't have a local health department.
Correct.
Like we are for the city of Tyler and for Smith County. Yeah.
So they come to us.
No. They come to us. No, it's really. Sometimes people do. So a great example, our immunizations department. We only have one immunizations clinic in Tyler, but we'll have people outside of Tyler that may come to our immunization clinic because their city, their county may not have a local immunization clinic. Their county may not have a hospital. So
that's one of the perks of being the medical seat, right?
If you're a parent or grandparent, if you have kids that need to get their kids or grandkids vaccinated for back to school, you'll go to your nearest immunization clinic. And if there's not one in your city, in your county, you're going to, as a parent, you're going to make sure you get your kids back.
You're gonna
they
find
will
one.
Go to school.
Yeah, you're going to find one.
So that's just one example. But one of the reasons of us doing this podcast is to shine a brighter light on the many, many ways that public health has an impact on your individual daily lives.
That's right.
Many things that you may not realize are affected by public health. So the term public health, just in the broad picture, is anything that affects a large group of people, a large population, whether it's a neighborhood, whether it's a whole city, whether it's a a nonprofit organization, whether it can be an entire county. So public health is different than what's termed medical care, because when you go to a doctor's office, when you go see a nurse or a physician, they are treating one individual person at a time, which is different from public health, which is the same as community health, or sometimes you hear population health. Mm-hmm. You're trying to do interventions, provide services, doing programs that are helping many people at the same time, as opposed to going to a doctor where it's one-on-one care.
Right. And this is kind of the premise of the show, the concept of casting the net, how public health is a net that is cast pretty wide. We cover, as Terrence alluded to, a very large area here in East Texas. And inevitably how those nets kind of catch individuals on a day-to-day basis, you get kind of caught in those things. And sometimes you don't really even notice that you are, in fact, affected directly. But the past few years kind of highlighted that public health is pretty important, you know? And so we're trying to bring people into the light of that and get them to understand and maybe pay a little bit more attention to these things.
It's almost a... So I have many flashbacks from 2020, and one element was I didn't know the health department did that. Mm-hmm. Like the most obvious thing that people learned about us is that we did COVID vaccination clinics all over Northeast Texas. NetHealth, we reported the number of new COVID cases that happened on a daily basis for, this is going on 4 years now, mm-hmm. where we were that source of information for the general public about that one specific disease. But we cover many, many diseases within our disease surveillance department, which is another one of the services that we provide for the general public, is investigating when there are communicable diseases. So not just COVID, there's flu, there's botulism, there's Legionella.
The respiratory ones.
There's RSV. There's a list that the State Health Department updates every year that's literally about 70 or 80 different diseases that are reported to local health departments across the state, that we have to keep track of the rate of infection, the rate of spread. So if there's right. if there's one case of one disease, that one case could multiply into 5 or 20 or to 100 if it's not known to where it can be controlled, it can be checked to limit that spread. So that's one of the elements of our mission statement of preventing illness, so that we can promote health and protect our community.
Yeah, and we'll put a pin in that one because we likely will have an episode where we will get some of our epidemiologists in the studio and have them talk about all the fun stuff that you think about when you see the zombie movies and, you know, post-apocalyptic fallout and what you can expect if there's a anthrax, you know?
Yeah, we have people that actually think about this as part of their job.
Part of their job, man.
So these are the individuals at NetHealth you do not want to play Scrabble against, because they know all the long words that have the X's and Y's and Q's and J's. Or maybe you want them on your team. Maybe not playing against them on Scrabble.
There you go. But yes, there are a little bit more about myself, I guess, because how was I introduced into the role that I'm in? I'm a millennial. Got my degree at Texas State. Got my major in kinesiology with a minor focus in health and wellness promotion. And if I'm not mistaken, Terrence, you had a degree in kinesiology as well. Is that correct?
Health and kinesiology.
Health and kinesiology.
So I stumbled into public health. I did not go to school because I wanted to work at a health department.
Certainly.
That was not in my life plan.
Yeah.
Was not on my dream board.
Yeah.
trying to flash back to different movies I've seen where you plan your 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. So when I graduated from high school in the late 1900s. Try to rephrase.
Wow.
So, yeah, last millennium feels like it was a long time ago. And I was in high school before Y2K.
I think we had a computer. We might have not, was that 97, 99? I think we had a computer in our home. We might have.
So I'm late Gen X, where I was a latchkey kid, used a rotary phone, had a Dearborn heater in the house, used a fax machine, a typewriter, lick stamps to send postal mail.
I've probably used a stamp so I could count on one hand how many times I've used a stamp in my life. So so there is some generational divide between me and Terrence.
It's been so long. I can still taste what a stamp, the adhesive.
Oh, man.
How it. But all that's to say, when I graduated in 96, I really didn't have a plan. I wanted to go to college, so I went to college. I had a major, but I changed my major 3 different times. I really didn't know what I wanted to do once I got to college. Flunked out my first year. Did some odd jobs here and there. Worked as a pizza delivery driver for a couple of years. So now we've talked about this before, and other coworkers have talked about how it seems I'm able to navigate the streets. Mm-hmm. A little quicker than others, just going back.
Oh, yeah.
So back when, we didn't have MapQuest, we didn't have Google Maps or Waze.
Yeah.
You had to memorize getting from point A to point B. This is back when you had to have an actual map as a book in your car.
Yeah.
To open up.
To any of you folks listening, if you ever have to follow Terrence to a location around Tyler, I mean, this guy will lose you quick, fast, and in a hurry. He knows all the little back alleyways to skip through and little secret tunnels.
I've been running them streets.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because I did jog. I did half marathons for a few years. So, I wasn't saying that just to be fun. Like, I've literally run the streets, all the back alleys, just for training-wise.
You know, all the portals, the little secret portals?
Yep.
Like, you, like, hop in this trash can, and you pop out some other area in the city?
Then, I re-enrolled my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife of 20-plus years. We enrolled the same time at TJC, graduated from there, went to UT Tyler. We both got our graduate degrees in 2008, and didn't have a job lined up, but I guess maybe it was just God looking out. Yeah. One of my professors at the time, Dr. William Sorensen, he was working on a grant and asked, did I want to have a job? And I said, sure, sign me up. I ain't got a job, man. Hook a brother up. So, turned out, I'm 28 years old. It's a program to educate East Texan men about their risks of developing prostate cancer.
Okay.
So, here I am, 28 years old, didn't even know what a prostate was, didn't know I had a prostate, didn't know what issues related to prostate health, didn't realize I'll be talking to guys 2 and 3 times my age about something that most men don't want to talk about, because mm-hmm. it's not like you just walk up to somebody just randomly, hey, when's the last time you've been to your doctor to have your PSA checked, or if you had your prostate exam?
PSA, you mean public service announcement? What's a PSA?
That's funny, yeah, we do PSAs now. So that was my birth into public health. And it's really ironic. I don't know if it's ironic or if it's coincidental, which word would be the proper use of the word, the term of engaging people that you may not talk to on a regular basis about a health condition, about a situation that really has profound impact on your day-to-day lifestyle. So just us, just Thomas and I, just two guys here talking, just shooting the breeze of talking to individuals, us as Net Health employees, about serious health issues that can have a dramatic effect on their lifestyle. So just using that prostate cancer as an example. Guys that have had prostate issues will be eager advocates to want to help spread the message, because there's I haven't gone through it yet, but talking to guys in their 60s, 70s, 80s that have had some type of prostate issue, it's something that is avoidable.
Sure.
If you catch it early.
As is most, you know, we unfortunately, our healthcare system sometimes hinges more on the less on the preventative and more on the
fixing, the not even maintenance, it's repair, I guess would be the better term. So like, I guess like an automobile analogy, it's better to rotate your tires, make sure you're getting your oil changed on schedule, mm-hmm. make sure you're changing out the air filter, as opposed to having to replace an axle.
Sure.
Or your pistons aren't firing like they used to.
Yeah.
But by checking that early, that can avoid
catastrophic damage.
Yeah.
Irreparable damage.
Engine replacement, yeah. New transmission.
I mean, you can replace your heart, but it's going to cost you
a new water pump.
You know, and they're not easy to come by. So, but preventative care, and that is what we are hoping that this podcast becomes: is we can bring you into some of these topics, bring our listeners to talk about some of these things. I know me and Terrence have spoke about, we want to be able to create a safe space where we can invite the general listener like yourself, you know, to come in and maybe have conversations about public health and what public health looks like for you as a listener and as an individual and a part of this community, and how you navigate some of these things.
Yeah, because we're jaded.
Sure.
Because we do this. This is our job.
Mm-hmm.
All of our employees that work in our different departments within Net Health are focused on, whether it's our sanitarians in our environmental health department, whether it's our nurses in our immunizations department, whether it's our community health workers at our Center for Healthy Living, or whether it's our nutritionists, our breastfeeding counselors within our WIC department, whether it's in our laboratory where we do milk and water testing and STD testing in our laboratory, whether it's our staff in our vital statistics department that does birth records and death records, we are limited in what perspectives of overall public health in East Texas. We want to hear from you, the listener. There are aspects of the term public health, or things, I'll just say the word health.
Mm-hmm.
Things that may have some influence on you as an individual, you as your family, you as somebody at your job, you as somebody that lives on your street, in your apartment, wherever you may live. There are things about health that happen in your area of East Texas that may affect you different than they may affect somebody else.
Sure, sure.
So let's say if you live in, people that live in Tyler have different health issues than somebody that lives in Mount Pleasant or
and health needs.
Jacksonville, health needs, health access, health absolutely. Resources.
Absolutely.
Knowledge and education and awareness of those resources. Because you can have a community clinic, you can have a grocery store, a farmer's market, a holistic health store, gyms, you name it. But if the people in your city, the people in your community don't know about all these resources, then is it really making an impact? Mm-hmm. Is it benefiting the people that it's intended to help? That you have all this stuff available, but how are you going to make sure people know all this stuff is available for them to utilize?
And that's just one of the obstacles, because we've certainly seen in our experiences, even availability, making them available. You know, we can't make the horse drink.
You can't lead the horse to water. Yeah. Well, you can make it drink.
Yeah. Force its nose. Force its snout.
You will drink this one.
But access, you know, once you have the available access, once you make that, then the next step is, okay, so we have the facility, we have the resources for you. Now, how do we encourage you to actually utilize the resources for the betterment of your health?
Because health in the broad picture, as a product, as a commodity, as if it's something to sell for profit, health is hard to sell.
Oh, yes.
Just in the short term, it's hard to encourage the average person, not to call out any specific race, ethnicity, gender, age, just gender, just me, myself. It's hard talking to other people about something they should do today or this week that can have a positive result. Mm-hmm. On their mood, on their, doesn't have to be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be emotional. It can be financial. It can be psychosocial. As far as improving, it can be lowering their stress levels because they are just going for a walk.
You'd be amazed.
You know how easy it is.
Yeah.
Just to, it's one of those activities. This is something that everybody can relate to. Like this, just walking, this topic right here. Everybody can relate to this. You may not remember the moment this happened, but you see this in your family, in future generations. Whenever a baby becomes an infant, and that infant becomes a toddler, and that toddler attempts to take its first steps, and may wobble and then fall down, get back up, try again a day, 2 days, 3 days. And that toddler takes its first steps. And it's like that toddler just won the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody claps and applauds and, oh my goodness, you did it. You're taking your first steps. It's like it's celebrated that we learn to walk. But then over time, cultural convenience takes over, where society is engineered to encourage us not to walk. It's like it's looked down upon if you have to take extra steps to go. You could just walk straight that way and get to the front door, or you can go around to the side. It may take a little bit longer, but it's like, now you can get in either way. I'll just go through the front. It's quicker. It's faster. It's easier. There's less I have to do to get where I need to get.
Grocery pickup? You just park on
Yeah,
the
grocery
side of
pickup.
Building.
Yeah, you don't have to walk in the store to get your groceries anymore. You can just
pull out your device.
Don't,
not only are you missing out on the steps you get to walk into the store, but the steps that you take inside.
In the actual store, and then the steps to getting back to your vehicle.
And then they've made it even shorter, because now you don't even have to drive to the store and wait in the pickup line.
You deliver
it to the house.
So this conversation right here, this is a good example of the types of topics that we want to cover on our future podcast episodes, of how the elements that have happened over the last 5-10 years that have made just the simple act of living easier by curbside ordering, whether it's at a grocery store, whether it's at a restaurant, at a department store. You know, it came because of worldwide situation that occurred.
Sure.
But curbside delivery was already a thing before the pandemic happened. So It's almost like the pandemic accelerated the business relevance of making curbside delivery, home delivery, making it a thing that, as we all know, that hadn't gone away. Like I'm just as guilty of using Amazon Prime
and, oh, the hypocrisy.
And DoorDash. No. And, yeah. Do as I say, not as I
do. Yeah, that's our motto here at the North.
But on the flip side, I'm just me myself. I'm a sturdy boy.
Go ahead, give him the stats.
Give me your stat. I'm 6'1", 280. I'm a former athlete. Have a good amount of muscle mass. I got sturdy bones, as we say. It's like he's a big boy.
Yeah.
But I also have a high amount of body fat that I've been working to try to get off. And I've been struggling with weight management my entire life. My family, one of my nicknames when I was a kid was Baby Fat, because I was a fat baby. And, you know, when a friend gives you a nickname, it's one thing. When family gives you a nickname, you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a part of you. So even throughout my life, as I was playing sports, I would lose the weight and I'd be just ripped. Mm-hmm. And then over time, circumstances change.
The ebb and flow of life, my man.
You start having a family and you work. What you do day to day at work may be different than what you did do when you were playing sports. You know, there's the freshman of 15.
Oh yeah.
When people that are playing high school sports and they may not play sports in college, but then they go to college, they may or may not be playing in rec leagues, or you're not as active as you used to be when you're in high school. And
that 15 becomes like freshman 20, freshman 25. Real quick.
But when that happens, it's a slow and steady process that you don't realize until you get that freshman 25 or freshman 30.
Or you look at a picture from about a year ago.
And then you graduate, man. Or you may be in your 30s or in your 40s, and you look up and like, when did this happen? Like, who said we were doing this?
Yeah.
Well, it's become part of life. It's an avoidable part of life.
100%.
If you're aware, if you're conscious of keeping that behavior as a norm. Mm-hmm. And that's another layer of public health, is identifying norms, things, not just you personally, but just things in your community. Because I work at a health department, I just do this just standard practice. I probably would not do this if I didn't work at a health department. I make sure I dump anything that holds water. Mm-hmm. Because of mosquitoes. A water bottle, you take the cap off, you flip that cap upside down. That's all the water that a female mosquito needs to lay eggs. And that's, I don't know, that's maybe
a thimble.
3, 4, 5 drops of water.
Yeah.
But multiply that one mosquito times 100 or times 1,000 or however many mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Can be bred within that little itty bitty container of water. Mm-hmm. And then you multiply that if you have kids' toys, tires,
sure,
pails, buckets, whatever it may be. So I'm a hawk going around dumping everything out, because when you've had a yard full of mosquitoes, you learn the hard way to make sure you don't become a breeding ground of mosquitoes.
And that's the thing, you know, we're all on our journey, right, to become more well-informed. So that was something that at one point you would have never considered to give any attention to or any thought.
No, I was just like, why are my neighbors, where are these mosquitoes coming from?
But then something happened, not only in your own experience, but you were enlightened, if you will. You were probably given some source of information that you didn't have before. It's like, now I have this information and it's relevant to me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to seek to try to implement that information into my everyday life. And ultimately, that's what we're hoping to kind of use this mouthpiece, this podcast, you know, this form of dispersing and disseminating information, because as public information officers, that's what me and Terrence's job is to do, is to take the information that we have as a local health department, as an authoritative organization in health, and to disseminate information accurately and intentionally in hopes to better our local community, our residents, you, the listener. And we want to be sure that we do that well. And we're going to try to bring our own experiences, as Terrence just alluded to, and to try to, you know, give that to you guys in a way that's palatable, in a way that's engaging and gives you something to look forward to and something to talk about. Because again, health is a multifaceted thing, and it's a little bit different for every individual. Public health for me might look a little different than you, the listener, listening to this. Health may look a little different to Terrence sitting across from me. But at the end of the day, we have some plans and some ideas laid out, but we want to be sure that we're creating content that you guys are actually going to want to tune in and to listen to. So we are open for you guys to reach out to us to let us know, hey, man, I want to hear a little bit about this. You know, I don't hear I don't hear local health departments talking about this, or I don't hear people talking about this at all. And this is a topic that I'm passionate about, and I want to hear somebody in this space come in and talk about it. Reach out to us via our contact page. We also have an email handle that you can send to. It's going to be castingthenet@netphd.org. Again, that's castingthenet@netphd.org. That'll come directly to me and Terrence. And if you have some ideas for some episodes, shoot them to us. We'll definitely be excited to get some suggestions from our listeners.
So we are your health department. We want to serve you in the way that you need us to serve you, because there are things that we have to do as a health department. Like my individual department that I'm the director over, community wellness, all of our programs are grant funded, and that we have to apply to get money to do services with our, so we have a grant on assisting uninsured women to get a free mammogram or get a free pap smear. We have a grant that allows us to assist people that have type 2 diabetes to be able to manage themselves, be able to manage and control their diabetes to where eventually they can not be type 2 diabetic anymore.
We have some success stories. People who have actually gone through those classes, six weeks class, and genuinely changed the lives of these people, really turned their lives around.
So we are tasked to seek out funding, to get grants, to get money so that we can do needed public health services. But then there are also many programs that our Department of Community Wellness that we do that is not grant funded, that we do because we've learned that there are other health needs that need to be addressed to help the overall health of those individuals seeking help from us.
And this happens actually fairly often in the public health space. Initially, we may be funded money to do a specific initiative, but as we go through that initiative, other health needs arise that we realize maybe were overlooked. And therefore, we go back to the drawing board and we're like, okay, we were supposed to do it, or they were suggesting us to do it this way to address this issue. But then we find out that the actual needs in that community require a separate approach or a different approach than was initially shortlisted on the list. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the drawing board and we're like, okay, let's do it this way, because the needs of this specific community or this specific population are a little different than what it looked like on paper. So that's always fun.
And that is an example of what this podcast is intended to do, because there are things that we know that we should focus on as a health department. But there are things that happen to you that we may not know about unless you inform us that they need to be addressed. And then we can pivot our services. We can still do what we need to do as a health department, but we can still shift our focus in being able to solve whatever issue, whatever problem, whatever barrier may be present, whether it's directly affecting you, if it's affecting your older relatives, if it's affecting your children, if it's affecting friends of your family. You don't know what you don't know.
Sure.
But we want to know, because we are a service that we want to provide for the greater good, for the public health of East Texas.
Sure. We want our listeners to know that as your local health department, we want to be open to suggestions that would help us to reach our goal of preventing, promoting, and protecting our community.
And we've been doing this since 1936, believe it or not. So NetHealth started as the Smith County Public Health Unit in the year 1936. You say it the old school way. You don't say the number altogether. You got to add the and. So of what the public knows about NetHealth now, we started... Our first office was in the building where the Tyler Recycling Center currently sits on Bodark Avenue, right across from the railroad track in Tyler. So in 1994, our health unit became the Smith County Public Health District. The city of Tyler and Smith County, they formed a cooperative agreement to where they provided support to us as a health department, but we are still an independent entity, so we are not a department under Smith County. Now, in some counties, it's the Gregg County Public Health Department, is the...
And this is alluding back to at the beginning of the episode where we talked about how public health can be structured differently in different regions.
In different areas, in different parts of the state.
Right.
So there's, and as you start to look around more, you'll see there are health departments and there are health districts.
Yeah.
And they're like,
isn't
that the same thing?
This is one of the many, in my 5 years of tenure here with NetHealth, this is one of the many can be somewhat frustrating because not everybody plays by the same rules in Texas. And you go in different areas and you realize, oh, the way we do things here are a little different than the way that we do things over there. Oh, this form's a little different than the form that we got. So it's
the same, but it's different.
Yeah, it's fun to navigate through these interchanging aspects of health.
Like, oh, layers.
Yeah, layers.
And, so in 1994, the city of Tyler and Smith County, because of this cooperative agreement, our name changed from the Smith County Health Unit to the Smith County Public Health District. But then we were just focused just on providing services in Smith County. Then a decade later, early 2000s, our name changed again, because we acquired multiple WIC clinics all over Northeast Texas. And so it was necessary that our organization name change. And so that's when it was retitled as the Northeast Texas Public Health District. So give you that quick rundown memory lane of our name wasn't just created just out of the blue. Just, I don't know, y'all think of a name. Like, oh. I don't know, what do we call ourselves?
Yeah.
Kind of have the eyes looking different ways, and it's like, I don't know, should we pick this, should we pick that? But our name, the Northeast Texas Public Health District, it's reflective of our service area. It's reflective of the programs, the activities that we provide to our communities, but it's also reflective of not just our current situation, but our future goals of the public health of Northeast Texas and how we are key into improving, maintaining, and improving the health of all Northeast Texan residents. And to translate that into what our vision statement is optimal health for all of Northeast Texas. So it's not just keeping you healthy. It's setting up the situation so that you maintain that health next year, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, when your grandkids are around, you are as healthy as you are now, and they have a good environment where they can live healthy. That's what public health is designed to do.
And I will say this, East Texas, we're going to be as transparent as possible.
Hey, we're number one.
We got a long way to go.
No, it's how you say it. We're number one.
Yeah, number one. Tell them what we're number one in, Terrence.
So as public information officers, so our, to shorten that, in the health world, there's an acronym for everything. So we'll say we're PIOs.
Yeah, we'll reference ourselves as PIOs.
Public information officer. So when we receive stats, when we receive educational information that we want to communicate to the public, it's all in how you say it. It's all in how you frame the message. So it's kind of give you a behind-the-scene look of what the PIO function is. So if that 35-county region of Northeast Texas that I mentioned before, if we were our own independent sovereign state, now, there's been chatter over the decades, as long as I've been alive, last 45 years, about Texas seceding.
We going to secede.
Maybe, hey, this may be time. Health-wise, if Northeast Texas seceded, mm-hmm. if we were the 51st state or 52nd state, because, you know, technically Puerto Rico is a state. Mm-hmm. It's, and I'm kind of getting off topic, but if we were a state.
Yeah.
In terms of health condition, the prevalence, the number of people in our new state that have preventable health conditions, we would be the unhealthiest state compared to all the other 50 current states. So including the rest of Texas, Northeast Texas, statistically, we are unhealthier than the other regions of Texas. We are unhealthier than pretty much every other state in the United States of America. So we're the unhealthiest, or we're leading, we're number one in having the most people per population that have chronic diseases. So this is heart disease, this is cancer, this is diabetes, stroke. These are preventable health conditions. And I want to emphasize, bold, highlight, italicize, underline that word preventable, because many of these health behaviors, many of these health conditions are related to health behaviors. So it's a domino effect of, by certain situations, certain conditions, certain environments being in place. It's like a garden. If the conditions are right for something to grow, it's going to grow. It's going to proliferate. It's going to multiply. It's going to bloom. It's going to do what it's supposed to, because that's what the condition is set up to do. So by having this higher than average percentage of our population that has these preventable health conditions, that's why we're number one, mm-hmm. or why we are ranked last in being a healthy area of Texas, because of the conditions, because of the environment, because of the rate of type 2 diabetes, of heart disease, of cancer, which we and other health organizations in East Texas, we're wanting to make that change.
Right.
We don't want to be number one.
Right.
We want to be number one in football, basketball, you know, athletic pursuits, we want to. But avoidable health conditions, mm-hmm. where there is some level of individual accountability, where, and like we mentioned before, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. We can improve the environment, we can improve the availability of health resources, but it also, it becomes that individual decision, the individual choice of how you can help yourself become the healthiest version of you so that you can avoid all those preventable health conditions.
Yeah, and there, we have some limitation as your local health department to help do environmental change in hopes that you can be successful at being a healthy individual.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's things in your lives that we can't change, and there's things in your life that we have no control over. But as your local health department, there are certain attributes of the health sphere that we do have an ability to influence that could help you in reaching that status of being a healthy individual.
And there are only so many hours in the day, only so many days in the week. Focus just on one change. We advocate sustainable change, what we call a SMART goal. So something that's very specific, something that's doable, something that's attainable, something that you can see where you started and where you finished, and when you look back at it, you can say, "Oh, I really did. I took more steps today than I did yesterday, or I made sure I ate more fresh foods this week compared to last week."
Sure, like not biting off more than you can chew.
Yeah, you can't do everything all in one day or even in one week. You know, maybe not even in one year, but making one small change that is going to be impactful to you on the personal level, on the individual level, and that one change can spill over into other aspects and cascade into other elements of your day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year activities to help with that overall lifestyle improvement change to avoid that preventable health condition that you may not have to get diagnosed with diabetes or high cholesterol or high blood pressure, whatever the condition may be.
Because statistically speaking, folks, if you live here in East Texas, you might be attributing to the numbers and the stats that we're talking about right now. And that drives me back to the point of that this podcast is very much needed. And us as your health department, we need to be trying to get you pertinent information through every avenue we have at our disposal. And this was one reason that I told Terrence, I was like, we gotta make a podcast, man. I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I was like, the Northeast Texas Public Health District needs a podcast because we got a lot of information, and the information that we get is evergreen. It's always changing, you know, or evergreen might not be the right term.
It's not evolving. It's
some of the information's evergreen.
This is when we need our epidemiologist. What's a good synonym for?
Yeah. But all that's to say is this podcast is very much needed. We hope that it is something that you engage with. Right now, we're hoping to do an episode every month starting off. But inevitably, we're hoping that we can maybe begin to make these a little bit more regularly. As your PIOs, me and Terrence got a lot on our plate. But we're hoping that we can create content that you can regularly come and check back in. One aspect of this podcast is going to be to bring you information in regards to public health externally, but we also want to bring you updates of what's going on with your local health department. Is there stuff that's going on internally that you guys need to be aware of? For example, our environmental health department has a lot of changes coming up that we want to let you guys in on. Do you guys who maybe own local businesses or own food trucks, you guys know what to expect and what changes to look into? So we'll be bringing some of that stuff to you as well through these episodes. So it's definitely going to be something you want to subscribe to so you can be in the know of what's going on with your local health department here at the Northeast Texas Public Health District. Yeah, so that's a little taste of Casting the Net, folks. Hit that subscribe button. As of right now, we're hoping to have our platform. This podcast is going to be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. There may be a few others. But wherever you find us, hit that subscribe button. If you live here in East Texas, or even if you don't, if you might be interested in what's going on in public health here in the the life behind the pine curtain, as they say.
And share it with others.
Yeah, share this with others.
Become our ambassadors to help us spread the word of Net Health having a podcast, because there may be information, it may not apply to you, it may not relate to you, but it may relate to somebody you know.
True. So this is Thomas Alford again, Assistant Public Information Officer for Net Health, and my co-host, Terrence Eights, signing off. We will catch y'all on the next episode, so stay tuned in.
Y'all take it easy.